There is a house in New Orleans. They call the Superdome. It's been the ruin of many a poor boy. And God, I know I'm one.
I cried to my daddy on the telephone. How long now? Till the clouds unroll and you come home a language. But your shadow still remains since your descent, your descent.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast United Network. I'm your host, Jeff, returning. I think this is my first podcast since the live stream draft night party and whatnot. So welcome back, me. Thanks. It's a great. I hope you had a good vacation. I did. Glad to see that the rest of you didn't burn the podcast to the ground while I've been gone. But for those of you wondering, yeah, you haven't gotten rid of me. It's not going to be that easy. But yeah, this one's going to be a quick check-in as we kind of, I guess, walk over that bridge that is June into July when training camp really gets started, entering the preseason and then the regular season. So we have a few little more, I think like y'all did the last time with Jason hosting, where you kind of just kind of talked a lot about Tamis Wilson, our new quarterback, Mayor. And a couple other things. We have a few more things to talk about, a few little news drippings to cover, a few over analyses to do, and some hyperbolic statements from everyone, I'm sure, are going to come. James, you're not allowed to talk about the Euros. That's a different episode. For those of you who are watching, we are recording this the day after England beat Germany for the first time ever since 2000, was it? 2001?
1945.
At least without our help.
So England had our help yesterday? Did you have any Americans on your team?
No.
I think the referee was an American.
He was Dutch, and they hate the Germans more than we do.
They used our airplanes yesterday.
Yeah, there you go. All right, anyway, everybody, put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Welcome to the show. Let's start with James. How are you? How are you feeling? What's your hangover scale? Or do you have a drunk scale rating tonight?
I'm off the beer tonight. I got to about a 6 yesterday, I think, during the game, after the game. It's worth celebrating. I don't know if you can tell, my voice is still not quite recovered from shouting and screaming when the goals went in. But that was a big day yesterday. But if you want to listen to a conversation about it, then have a listen to the podcast that me and Ben did yesterday, reviewing the game. So yeah, that was put up this morning. Yeah. But yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Very good, very good. Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I do not have a number since it is 3 in the afternoon, and I'm quote unquote working. I think it's my first show since the draft. Live draft show too.
Oh, that's right. You were not on the that big episode show either. It was no. Jason, James, and Wes. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Was it just the three of them?
It was Ben, wasn't it?
Yeah. Maybe it was Ben.
It was Ben. Okay. Yeah, you all sound alike.
You all sound alike, yeah.
Thanks.
No, for real though. Wes, welcome to the show. What's your number?
No number. I'm gotta coach some kids' sports in about an hour, so.
Ooh, then you better hurry up and start drinking.
There'll be
none of that. Did he say he has to touch some kids?
He has to touch some kids.
Oh, coach. Okay, I'm sorry. I got misconstrued there.
Wow. It's going to be one of those episodes. No, that's not. All right.
Speaking of which, Bill Cosby's getting out of jail today.
Oh, well, but it wasn't kids, though, was it? He was just all above age.
Yeah, I guess. Ish.
How does he get out of jail so quickly? Oh, yeah, money.
Puddin' Pops. The Puddin' Pop money.
Oh, getting some yellow Puddin' Pops.
All right, let's talk about the Saints. I think so. I have a few things, you know, that have kind of come across my desk. I'll bring some of those up, ask you guys for your thoughts and opinions on it. And then if you have anything to share, you can go after me. So that's how it works when I'm hosting. So the first thing, I did read something about Cesar Ruiz will be staying at guard and will not migrate towards center where they drafted him, right? How do you feel about this? Does it encourage you about our existing positions or his ability to, maybe he's impressed them enough to stay at guard that they believe he can actually continue to improve?
Is it not probably a case more of them wanting to keep McCoy at center because he's so good?
Well, that's the question. Yeah, right?
I think it's a combination. I mean, in theory, McCoy makes a lot of sense as a guard because he's so athletic. But the truth is, he hasn't played guard, so he did not play a lot of guard. Like, and he's one of the best centers in the league, if not the best center in the league. A year committed to Ruiz being at guard, he's not going to get worse over training camp and going into the season, and he may not be better. So I just think it's making the best of the situation of not taking, ensuring that we don't take a step backwards.
Like almost like he'd be a rookie again.
Yeah.
If he moved over to center.
And but then so would McCoy. Like, let's be honest.
That's true.
They are different positions. Cesar Ruiz proved that last year. And so just because McCoy, Cesar Ruiz was possibly the best center in college football 2 years ago. And he was an average NFL guard. So just because McCoy's the best center in football doesn't mean he's a good guard.
Now, what is your confidence rating on him at guard? Like, and I say that because in the article or the blog post, whatever it was that I read, he did talk about how last year it was an uphill climb for him. One, transitioning to guard, that's bad enough. Two, COVID, no real off season. He was thrown into it, and he made a comment that even already this year, everything's starting to slow down for him. He's starting to pick it up. Like, I'm a little encouraged by hearing kind of the explanation or excuse for why he wasn't the greatest guard in all of football last year, and B, for what we can expect. I think he's going to get better.
Yeah, I mean, definitely after having a year playing at guard and then getting a full camp and, the time to grow into the position. Yeah, I think it'll,
I've got more confidence in him than I do in Davenport and Bond. I mean, being able to play their position at a above average level.
Oh, you mean, okay. I have more confidence in him playing guard than Davenport.
No, I'm talking about better. I think he'd be a better guard than Davenport's going to be a defensive end, and Bond's going to be a linebacker this next year.
Mm-hmm. I kind of agree.
One of the underrated things that you need to consider when you're playing in different positions across the offensive line is the footwork and the technique required is different at all three positions. You need a certain technique at center, you need a certain technique at guard, and you need a very, very different technique when you're playing tackle. And to switch between that in a short space of time is not easy. Now, look, I didn't play American football to that level, but I played guard and tackle over here in Britball. First season I was a guard, left guard, and then the second season I was right tackle. So it was leading with the wrong with your other foot.
Cool.
And it's your technique, and at guard you're pulling on plays and things like that. It's a really big, and it was a steep learning curve for me, and we played very, very basic run plays and things like that. Whereas you the Saints have got one of the most technical offenses in the NFL, and the offensive line is expected to do a lot. So I think a lot of his issues last year were down to that. It was a new position to him. He was new to the NFL. And it would have been tough even if there would have been a normal offseason.
And fans, I remember we all kind of shat on him a little bit last year for not living up to expectation. But I mean, that kind of looking back on it, he really didn't deserve that from us.
Well, I think he got shat on. Wasn't he the one that missed the block that got Breeze hurt? Yes. So I think that's kind of what added to the shatting, so to speak.
Yeah, fuck him.
Asshole.
Right. Actually, he kind of forced the retirement. It was kind of like, okay, dude, it's time. It should have been time before. Right. We should thank him.
Thank you. Well, let's wait and see how this season goes before we start thanking people for stuff.
Yeah. So, all right. So Cesar Ruiz will be our guard and McCoy will stay at center. But the Saints offensive line has always, as under Peyton, has always felt ambidextrous. Like they're always shuffling guys around, and maybe that's because of injury. Is that a Saints thing and it's rare around the league, or is that actually common and we just don't pay attention to other teams that are probably doing it too?
Like you said, a lot of it's due to injury, but I think it's probably common. You have to kind of just play with the hand you've been dealt. If somebody gets injured, you shuffle it around, next man up kind of thing.
Okay. Okay.
I think it's more common than necessarily, I mean, wrong other teams. And even drafting wise, people are drafted saying, okay, you're 20 years old, 21 years old. As you fill out, you're going to be better suited for different positions. And you go and play, you know, play tackle on a running team in college. That doesn't mean you're a good tackle in the NFL. Like you might be a run blocker. So you're moving inside when you get to the NFL or vice versa. I mean, they're just, there's going to be different things like that just with the non-complexity of most of the college game.
Landrus Pete was a tackle in college, wasn't he? He was a left tackle in college, and he's ended up...
not a tackle in the
NFL. No, he's not a tackle. Not at all. Not in the NFL. No.
He's not an NFL player.
Made him up.
All right. Next thing is... I hate myself for even bringing this up, but there was a trade rumor that Michael Thomas would be a good candidate for the Saints to trade to Baltimore, and that Baltimore would be is interested, of course, who wouldn't be, and that the Saints were actually considering such a trade and whatnot. Now, that, granted, this fan was probably written by a Baltimore fan or something like that, or it's clearly slanted. I mean, there's always a few of those writers out there that are trying to stir up some shit, especially on a slow news day. One, do you believe, because this isn't the first time that Michael Thomas trade rumors have surfaced this year, A, do you believe anything to any of that? Or are the Saints like, there's no fucking way we're getting rid of Michael Thomas. He doesn't want to leave. We don't want him to leave. It's all writers just coming up with stuff. Or do you think where there's smoke, there's fire?
I think it sounds like clickbait. Like they're just trying to get people to read their article. And I didn't even, like, I don't know where you got that from, but I hadn't seen it.
I think it was like fan-sided.
Or I haven't even heard of like it. He ain't going anywhere.
Yeah,
he's not going anywhere.
I don't think Michael Thomas is going to see out this contract with the Saints. I think he may end up being traded eventually. That's not to say this year or next year, but I don't think he'll see the end of this contract with the Saints.
I think he's going to have a bounce back year. I think after last year. with the injury and everything else that happened, I think he's going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder more so this year. And
didn't
y'all
say though that he was still dealing with something just a couple weeks ago, that he was announced that he was doing some kind of thing? I thought y'all said that, Wes or James. I mean, Wes or Ben or Jason.
I thought they said he's been good to go the last few weeks and was
okay. Somebody had made a comment about him. And y'all were like, geez, like he just twisted his ankle. How is this a year later that we're still, or 9 months later? Did he have a baby in his ankle or something? So
I'll say there's, in my opinion, there's no way he gets traded, you know,
ever
before or during this season. I would agree with James. I don't know if I see him finishing out this contract with the Saints. But I just think that that's probably a product of our team's going to change a lot. And you're talking about a really expensive contract that somebody's going to have the cap space to eat a $20 million contract for a receiver that we're not.
He's the best receiver in the NFL. We all agree on that. How much of his
best receiver in the NFL?
Yes. He's Michael Thomas. He wears a Saints uniform. He's the best.
Okay.
So this is, you get
Deontay Harris second best.
Absolutely. You get tied with Traquan and then Callaway.
Lost your mind.
This is, you get unbiased football opinions on this show.
Kwon Baker.
He's actually on the. We got to talk about him. Now, him being the best, how much of his production and his top tier performance falls off because he doesn't have Drew Brees throwing to him? None. You think he gets better because he's got Jameis Winston?
I think he has less receptions, but he has this year the highest yards he's ever had in his career.
Okay.
I think
he goes a little deeper. He's not going to be slant boy anymore. He's going to be maybe get some deeper routes now.
Look at his numbers with Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill as quarterback. There was no drop off.
The slant was Breeze's best route, not Michael Thomas's.
Ooh.
I mean, those last couple of years, I mean, that's what we had to deal with. And Michael Thomas is fantastic at it. But you can go back to watching his rookie year, him catching 30-yard touchdowns in the back of the end zone with people draped on him. Like, he has a lot of talent, and he's was making Calvin Johnson, Andre Johnson type catches with people on him and all, playing as a bigger receiver.
I think defensive backs in the NFL, at least for the first half of the season, are going to be caught off guard by this.
Big time.
The whole offense. Because you're right. They're so used to being able to play up front against the Saints. And I mean, you know that we're going to go deep now, but I don't think they're going to realize, like, we might just run all streaks, you know, every play.
Yep. Every Henderson style.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Everybody go deep.
See, the thing with Michael, just
toss it up there.
Michael Thomas is so, he might not have the straightaway speed of like a Deontay Harris, but he's so physical off the line that he creates that initial separation, and nobody's going to catch up with him. And even
and
if
his
they
hands.
Do, yeah, even if they do, he's so strong with his arms and his hands, he's going to out jump and or, you know,
right,
out possession anybody.
Right. He'll be the guy who catches the deep ball in double coverage, where Deontay is too short and maybe even doesn't catch, you know, he got a little loose hands there. And so to me, it's like, if you're Jameis, you don't throw it to Deontay unless he's got enough separation deep. Whereas Thomas, you can take a chance, you know, and that's where Jameis will throw a couple of interceptions, but he'll throw more interceptions if he's going to Deontay.
Well, and it was always one thing with our offense last couple of years. If you were going to double Thomas, but you were doubling him in that 10 to 20 yard range, at least that second person can see Kamara still in front of him. If you can't double him deep, you are creating a large hole much closer to the line of scrimmage for dump offs. It's one thing to double somebody mid-range closer to the line of scrimmage. You can't double somebody 25 yards downfield.
It's true.
You just can't do it without then creating an enormous hole.
And it's a Kamara. So you have Kamara can play shallow, Thomas middle to deep, and then Traquan and Deontay deep.
Yep.
I love having toys.
And
I love having a quarterback with an arm, man. Forget what it's like.
That's one thing. And Jameis has a lively arm. Like, he'll make throws that we have not seen in him.
You mean Taysom?
Tamus Winston.
You saw that video that came out yesterday on Twitter where he launched a 73-yard pass in the air. I know it was only in practice.
Was it from his knees, though?
No, it wasn't from his knees, unfortunately.
Marcus Russell could do it from his knees.
That's what she said. He throws 70 yards in practice with no pads, nobody rushing him.
It's like running
whatever.
A 4.2.
But I'm okay if that results in 61 yards in the NFL with pads with somebody rushing him.
Right.
That's if he's throwing it to the right team.
He will.
Oh, okay.
Because he doesn't have Tampa Bay's former offensive coordinator ruining himself. And he can see now. So
Scott's not convinced.
It doesn't matter if Scott's convinced. Scott's not convinced of anything that ultimately ends up happening. And then when he's convinced of things happening, they never happen. So I like that Scott doesn't believe, because Scott's always wrong. All right. Another trade
always
rumor.
Wrong.
Right. Yeah, sure. Right now you are. So another trade rumor is Miami's Xavien Howard. This might be old news by now. Has anybody traded for him yet? Or is he still on Miami? What do you know about this? What do you think about this? I like how we're like, there's no truth to any trade rumor with Michael Thomas in Baltimore, but perhaps there's a trade rumor with Xavien Howard because we could get him. Xavien Howard, DB at Miami.
Not gonna happen. They're gonna sign a veteran cornerback now that they freed up money, which we haven't gotten to yet. But
yeah, we haven't. As of today, we can now could probably trade for Howard.
Yeah,
we now have the cap space to trade for him now.
Yeah, who we restructured? Who was it today?
We signed Ramchek to an extension.
Oh, so Ramchek's deal though freed up cap space.
Yeah, like, we don't know how much yet, but he had an $11 million cap hit. We had $6 million in free space. We're assuming that we have about 10 now, but it could be even more.
So 10 this year could get.
I think
you
I read something where it freed up like 5 point something million.
Over 11 than now,
which is enough to get.
That's 100 million to Mickey Loomis. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
you.
Shit. Oh, we're gonna get Aaron Rodgers after all. That's got.
The problem is Howard's gonna want to raise and a new contract with whoever.
That's why I think it's probably gonna end up being
Howard with Lattimore. That's a amazing backfield.
Oh, is he talking to us or he's talking to... For those of you who don't know, Scott's on mute yelling at his kids. Or wife.
Kids.
The kids. All right. So, yeah, like, but Xavien Howard would be a trade. He's still going to cost you money, but when you do a trade like that, are you picking up any of the money that he's owed from Miami on top of what you're going to pay him?
I think if we sign him, it'd be a restructure. It'd be a sign and restructure, wouldn't it? I think.
Mm-hmm. I don't see this. I don't see them trading. I see them maybe signing like a Richard Sherman.
Oh, hell no.
Who's still not signed.
Richard Sherman is a better option than what we have now. So, I mean, I get that he might not be your first option based on what's at the buffet, but right now your plate is empty. So I think like if they do sign Richard Sherman, I'm not going to complain about it because it's still an upgrade.
Why don't you like him, James, just out of curiosity?
He's done. We're going down the Brandon Browner route with him if we sign him.
How is he done?
I don't know if I agree with that.
Who's done? Sorry.
Richard Sherman.
Richard Sherman.
Please, let's sign Richard Sherman.
Okay, so I'm on my own with this one then.
Yeah, well, you and Jason.
Yeah,
I mean, Jason agrees that he's done, but I think you're letting your personal feelings for him get in the way.
Yeah, like he, look,
I think he's a great player.
He was hurt last year, and the year before, he was the PFF defensive back of the year. I mean, that was his last healthy season. And last year, he wasn't bad. He was just hurt. When he was healthy, though, he was on the field doing well. He hasn't given up 100 yards to a receiver in like 4 years or something. I mean,
yeah, he only played 5 games last year. So, right. And now what kind of injury was it? The question is that injury going to affect him now? So
why has no one else signed him then?
I don't think he hasn't been offered. I think he's waiting for the right opportunity.
Yeah. You think you're right? You think he's being selective over?
Why would you be?
If there's one thing you know about Richard Sherman only wants to play for a team that's going to win a Super Bowl. And he will leave a team when they are no longer a contender.
Be very clear. I don't want to be friends with Richard Sherman and have him over for dinner and all. But to say that I mean, he's also not one of those people that I hate so much that I would never want him to help the Saints win.
Right. Like, he's the kind of guy who's like, if he's on another team, he's an asshole. But if he's on your team, you love him. Kind of
he's
thing.
A CJGJ. So
him and Gardner Johnson in the same
imagine him and CJGJ.
I mean,
okay, that's convinced me just on that point alone.
It's just it's just a social experiment we want to see.
The two of them together just
grading
receivers is amazing.
So
maybe people are looking at like drop off. One, you didn't see or hear from him last year, but it wasn't because of a lack of performance, it was because he just didn't play. And also San Francisco and their entire team fell apart last year because of injuries. So they were almost like he fell into irrelevancy last year. And, you know, football's a very what have you done for me lately kind of sport. So I think a lot of people's opinions of him have dropped. But to Wes's point, yeah, he had like a career year in 2019, just a year before that. But then if you're comparing him to like his early years, like he was getting like 2012 and 2013, he had 8 interceptions those years. Those are not normal. That's an anomaly. That's an edge case. You know, I don't expect any DB to get 8 interceptions every year, but he got 3 in 2019.
Well, and I don't care if Richard Sherman's better or as good as Richard Sherman of 2017. Is Richard Sherman better than Keith Washington?
Ooh, he should have said like 2016.
Is he better than Dre Kirkpatrick? I mean, is he better than Patrick Williams?
Ken Crawley.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, right now, that's what I'm comparing. Like, I just want any kind of upgrade. I mean, and honestly, like, if we sign Drake
Kirkpatrick,
what are you
doing next year? Could you
I'm excited about Drake Kirkpatrick over Ken Crawley. But I mean, in that same breath, like, yeah, give me Richard Sherman over Drake Kirkpatrick, too.
Exactly.
I think with the money that we have now, I say get Sherman and get Quan back, Alexander. And I think we'll be good.
I will say I am of the ilk that I think that Gerrion Conley is worth a risk because that guy was somebody who was top 15 talked about pick a couple of years ago that has not had good coaching, his confidence enough. You get him around somebody like Lattimore that went to Ohio State, you get him around a couple of guys, that guy's got all the physical tools. You teach him to play a little bit of football. I mean, you can get Gary and Conley in here for nothing. I would really like the experiment. I don't want to just put everything on him being starting 17 games next year, but you get him on the cheap, no matter who else we sign. I'm really interested to see if you could rehab him.
Yeah, I'd rather sign Conley than Sherman.
Well, he's young too. Yeah, where Sherman is, Sherman is going to be like, what was it, like a sharper kind of thing, right? Where you just bring in a mercenary for your hit. You can stand behind me and show that if you want. My son is about to get disowned. Go do it. He, come on. You scared?
Yeah,
he's scared. He's got a San Francisco blanket.
I've seen that blanket.
A banner. And he's wearing a San Francisco jersey, a George Kittle jersey today.
Yeah, you can leave.
Yeah. I almost didn't pick him up from photography camp when I saw what he was wearing. I'm like, nope. Keep driving. All right. Another guy to – this is kind of like Jeff's read about this guy, and therefore Jeff's going to say, watch this guy at training camp. Jalen Dalton, undrafted defensive tackle. Have you heard about him? What do you know about him? And were you excited when you read about him like I was? Nobody knows who he is because he was – we picked him up last year after the draft.
He's like 6'6", 330 or something.
He's another – yeah, big.
Maybe 310. He's enormous.
Wingspan, kind of like a – what's his name? Patrick Turner type.
He was – wasn't he with Chicago?
Oh, I think he was. I think you're right. We didn't grab him, but he was like Chicago got him undrafted, but then he's so good that they didn't even play him or something. And then we picked him up. Either way, from what I read, like
I know we liked him last year, and then he got hurt and missed the whole season, but like we really liked him in camp last year.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things like you haven't heard of him not because he's not good, but because circumstances. But that it's almost like we have an extra draft pick this year because you think of him as like a rookie and you think of him coming in here. And I'm anxious to see what he can do because of the hole that's left by the departure of everybody else. So it's a position where a new guy like him and Turner can come in and compete for, I think, significant playing time. Or he could suck completely and we never hear from him again. But the defensive end position is something that, or defensive tackle position, really the whole defensive line is something to watch in training camp.
Well, and I think Roach had a few flashes last year. Like there's, for a rookie who came out of being Texas, of being very raw, he had some flashes almost once or twice a game.
Yep.
When he was, Ira,
we played a bunch of Roach clips during the podcast last year.
Yep, we did.
But you partner the two of them together, but Roach is going to take a step, I think, this year too.
Good. We need him to. All right. The next thing is the mask mandate. So I wish Jason was here for this because he's got high opinions of it. But what was it that the WWL?
Gunn has high opinions too.
Yeah. Oh, good. Gunn's here too. Or he at least he says he's here. I haven't heard him yet. I'm assuming like Christian Garrick or somebody at WWL filed this report, published it as though it were fact that the Saints were going to require everybody to wear masks. And the next day, I think the Saints came out and issued a statement that's like, no, we're not.
I don't think the Saints are requiring it, but Cantrell might require.
Right. But clearly WWL completely made it up or mixed or didn't get their facts straight and published something.
Yeah, I think
and I'm
Garrick
shocked that of all reliable news or sources that WWL would put out misinformation.
What Garrick did was he was reporting on what the standard is right now. And he failed to account for what things are going to look like in September.
Is he on the bottle again?
Very, very likely. and then the Saints clarification kind of spoke to that.
You're being really nice about it, Gunn.
I'm trying to.
I think the Saints came out and was like, shut the fuck up. You don't know what you're talking about. Sean Payton gave him a big middle finger. And the Saints pretty much said, yeah, like, we are not going to require shit. If you got a problem with the city requiring something, that's between you and the city.
Yeah. And I think the city is saying, like, if you're going to have 100% capacity, they want masks. At least that's what they're saying now.
Right.
Now, whether that changes between now and then.
I think the exact wording was, if it was tomorrow, then blank. But with the pace that we are on as far as shots and immunizations, we fully expect before the season starts that we will be way past the threshold. And I mean, I think that they were pretty detailed about, like, I mean, sure, like, if
people fast forward it
to tomorrow was September 15th, then okay. But there is no time machine coming. We don't have to worry about that.
Well, look at England, for example. Like, the further along they go in the Euros, the less of a problem COVID becomes. Did you notice that? Like, each game that they advance, each round that they advance in, they're able to allow more people into the stadium. So
there's a problem with that, though.
Is a fact. It is scientifically proven that winning truly does cure everything. It cures COVID.
There is a problem with that. What? Our current numbers of daily infections are growing ridiculously every day. We're back up above 20,000.
It's just because you're testing more.
But you're not dying.
I
think the cure rate is up.
You get it and you get cured because
the key metric is dying.
There are very, very, very political reasons.
Everybody gets the flu, but ain't nobody dying from it. No. So, okay.
The reasons for the bigger crowds are political. Very, very, very political, which I'm not going to bore you with now. So,
James, how many people are you okay with dying in order to win the Euros? Like, what's the number? 3 million?
Hang on. How many have died in the UK already? 160,000 people? Stick another 20,000 on that. I'm fine.
I don't know about you guys. Fair. I've been to London. It's super crowded. Like, they could use some space.
Right? Your housing market is going to be nice. You can probably upgrade.
I'm watching Wimbledon right now. They're sitting on top of each other.
There's full capacity at Wimbledon.
They're
that's because if winning doesn't cure everything, money surely does.
Well, that is exactly why, because Wimbledon is expensive to get into, and it's something that only rich people do in this country. So,
well, plus two, they're not all drunk and hanging all over each other, and you know,
from like the sounds of it, Gunn says they are. Well, they're hanging on each other.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, the soccer games there. Hanging on each other.
Well, what do you think is going to happen at a Saints game?
I think soccer. I don't know.
Lower every time, or the upper
every
levels,
time they the show terrace? The every time they show the crowd at a soccer game, they're all like got their arms around each other. Some of them wearing shirts. Some
jumping
of them
up
aren't.
And down, dancing, singing, spitting Saints in each other's faces.
Yeah, at Saints game, people are cheering. Maybe a high five, fist bump. They're not like literally hanging on each other.
They are very, very different spectator sports.
Yeah, yes. This is true. All right, so that's all the run of things that I have. Does anybody else have anything else to cover?
Ryan Ramczyk.
We talked about that. You brought it up.
No, we kind of like glazed really? Over. I thought that was going to be the lead story.
I like to bury the lead. I like
and you have some breaking.
Got to make people
news.
Continue to listen. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Wes. Then tell us about Kwon Baker, not Ramczyk. That's the last.
Don't you have breaking Kwon Baker news?
No, I don't think I do. Do I?
Oh, okay. I thought you had something.
No. Just he's
best receiver in the NFL.
Hoping that fourth best.
I
mean, they just did like a get to know Kwon Baker, and he just said, like, you know, I'm really excited about gelling with our quarterbacks. And I mean, you know, just insert cliche here, cliche there. I mean, there's not really news about Kwon Baker other than don't forget he's on the team.
Did y'all
until he's not on the team, and then
well, James is really rooting for him.
Yeah, I want his shirt. I want his shirt. Number 14.
Yes. On the last pod y'all did, I don't know if he had been announced yet, but Mike Haas being the voice.
Yeah, that's right. That was kind of, I think, most people's prediction.
Yeah, I think so. And I think a lot of people thought he would have gotten it the first time when Stinchcomb got it.
Strief. I think he's definitely going to be an upgrade to Zach Strief. Like, look, I think Zach Strief, I'm glad he's coaching now. I think like those games were really hard to listen to. I love Zach Streif, big Zach Streif fan. I got nothing bad to say about the guy other than he is not a radio announcer. And you know what? Like, I'm not a football player, you know?
What?
He was horrible.
He was bad.
And he never got better. I don't care. Everybody can say, oh, he's getting better. No, he didn't. It was almost like he was, let's shit on Zach Streif. Like, the news is Haas gets the job, but let's shit on Zach Streif. It was almost like Streif was like, he was trying to be the announcer that he thought everybody, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's like, because like everything was like, it's first and 10. And his cadence was just,
it's so different. I mean, Saints fans of our age, we grew up listening to Jim and Archie, you know, Archie Manning and Jim Henderson, and they had a dynamic, you know, and just what we've had the last couple years with Streif and Deuce, it's very, very different. I mean, it's like Buddy D. We grew up with Buddy D, and now they got Bobby Abick. I mean, my God, can he be the next one to get replaced by Mike Haas?
By Mike Haas. Dude, I agree. Yeah, like the Saints radio has just had really fallen. But Jim Henderson, like he was a professional. He was a poet, you know, in a sense. Like he was such a good writer.
Yes.
And he was articulate. So he had this like level of intelligence to his play calling. As well as he got excited at the right way in the right moments. And then Archie could explain the game. Like, I love Deuce too, but man, Deuce, it sounds like half the time, like Deuce just like, I worry, like, does Deuce McAllister have like just a boring personality? You know what I mean? Like, great guy, but man, I don't think I could sit and have dinner with him. I think I'd get bored. He's monotone. But I do like when he gets excited though. Because he's like, whoo, look at that, you know. And then Bobby. Yeah, forget about it.
Fuck him.
Bobby's at this point, like, I don't know if Bobby, like, just doesn't just wake up, put the microphone on, you know, and that's it. Like, I don't think he just reads whatever's put in front of him.
Drinks before that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets drunk first.
He reads whatever's put in front of him. But that's WWL's thing. Like, all they do, they say three sentences, they go to 17 minutes of commercial. And they come back and they say the same three sentences.
Yeah.
Yeah, Abear's gotten worse since they got an intern to start compiling stats for him.
He does is read stats.
Right.
It's worse.
Yeah.
It's worse.
He don't even know what he's reading. Like, I guarantee you, when it comes out of his mouth, it's the first time he looked at it. It's like me.
Yeah. Just like you.
All right. Speaking of that, okay. Wes, here's your favorite thing today. The $96 million deal for Ryan Ramczyk. 5-year extension, right? Let's see. Averaging, what, $19.2 million per year? Yeah.
60 guaranteed.
Yeah.
All right. This passes up the $18 million average deal by Lane Johnson with the Eagles in 2019. So is this the biggest...
He's right, the highest, tackle.
Right tackle highest contract. Paid
right the, tackle, he's the yes.
Fifth or sixth highest tackle, highest right tackle.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, I was worried when we started seeing these $21 to $23 million deals that he was going to be able to kind of demand that. And, like, I don't want to call a $96 million deal team friendly, but this is as close as one can get because I definitely believe he could have held our feet to the fire for more.
This seems like a fair deal.
Yeah. I was definitely worried about it coming out and it being a $23 million a year deal, like, because I think that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he wanted to stay here. And, you know, I think he knew what our monetary situation was and was willing to settle for, you know, that $19 million.
Well, and he actually even said, I mean, you say the right things, but he said, yes, it's cool to get a new $96 million contract, but it's not going to change who I am. I'm going to get and do the same work that I've always done and prepare the way I've always prepared.
It better not change.
Yeah.
It's not going to turn into Michael Thomas, is what he's saying.
We talked about it earlier with we talked about earlier, I mean, does this make him the left tackle of the future, or do you keep him at right tackle where he's the best right tackle in football?
I think the offensive lineman we drafted this year, Landon Turner,
yep.
I think he's going to be groomed as his replacement at right tackle, and then Ramczyk is going to go over to left tackle after next season, because I don't think when we're going to re-sign Armstead.
Yeah, I kind of don't want to re-sign Armstead. Like, I love it. Again, another thing. I love Armstead. I love what he's done, but he can't play a full season. I don't know that he ever has.
Here's the problem. And whether we want Armstead to stay or not, if Armstead walks, he will have $13 million in dead money in 2022. If we re-sign him, that drops down to about $4
million. Sign him.
So there are a lot of benefits for us to figure out a way to keep Armstead.
That's now, nothing to
probably make. Okay, you're right. It's a value decision. For $4 million, I'll take 13 games for $4 million.
Yeah. I mean, it cost you 10 to let him go. I mean, so there, I see if he stays healthy this year, that'll be 3 years in a row he's been basically healthy. You can give him another 2 or 3 years after that. I mean, it's kind of a short deal as he finishes his career.
All right. So
that's the big thing is his dead money. Like, cause we keep restructuring him like every 6 months, it seems like.
That's true. I didn't consider that. All right. So that means that our line then is pretty. So how many years left do we have with McCoy? So if we got Armstead, say you got Armstead for another 3 years, easy, right? If we go that route, 3 or 4 years, right? Yep. Then now you got Ramczyk for
five
years. And McCoy.
McCoy will have to do after this next year, I believe.
Okay,
he doesn't get a fifth year option because he wasn't out of first round.
Okay, 1 year with him. Then you got Ruiz is on his second year.
So he's got rookie deal. 3 years. So he's got another 3 years. Well, they've got the fifth year option.
Yeah. Okay,
the fifth year option with Ruiz, yeah. Say and then Pete's got 3 years as well.
There's your problem.
We're set for a little while.
Next year, the only one you really have to deal with next year is McCoy.
There really is a thing to say, though. If Andres Pete is the worst offensive lineman on your offensive line, that's pretty damn
yeah.
– that's it's a good floor.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Which he sometimes lays on.
See, I don't know that he gets – he doesn't necessarily get pushed down. He more gets, like, turned. Like what do you call those doors that rotate?
In style.
Right. Yeah, what do we call it in America door. Or what do they call it in England?
Turnstile. Yeah.
Oh, it is a turnstile. Okay, good. I figured those.
I believe wet paper towel comes to mind.
They call it a windy or something.
A carousel. Yeah. A merry-go-round.
It's a turnstile. Move on.
I believe it's called an Andres Pete.
Yeah, right.
That's it. From now on, every time I see one of those things, I'm going to say, oh, look, it's a Pete. All right. So everybody who enters the Superdome actually walks through an Andres Pete to get into the game. Ay. All right. You all got anything else then now that we covered Pete and Baker and Mike Haas?
Baker?
Kawan Baker.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, I thought you were going to say Ramczyk.
Oh my God. Oh, no. I meant Ramczyk. I said Pete.
I know. That's what I thought you were going to say.
I got Pete on the mind.
I mean, nothing to actually cover, but apparently Ian Book did look really good in some practices and stuff like that. They're saying for you know, somebody that a lot of people didn't have faith in, he has been involved in the meetings. Sounds like he's really smart. He's, you know, being impactful in the quarterback room and has actually made some good throws that from the little bit we can hear.
I like what I'm hearing about him as well. And I like that there's no pressure.
None.
You know what I mean? It's just like, hey, here's a guy, invest some time. If it works, it works. If it doesn't work, we move on. We do it again. I mean, whatever. Whether he's a good backup or because, again, if Tamis Wilson comes out and plays for another 15 years, Ian Book's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Or unless he's trade bait, you know.
Ian Book will be the starting quarterback within 2 years.
Wow. On another team for the Saints.
Should you not have saved
XFL?
Should you not have saved that for your hot take into our preseason?
Yeah,
you'd steal it anyway, James.
Bold prediction sure to go wrong.
James would steal it anyway.
Well, I'm now.
All right, everybody. With that, then, if y'all don't have any more final thoughts, I think we're going to go ahead and call for an adjournment of the first Dome Patrol podcast episode hosted by Jeff since the draft. That's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show that happens during the season after every game, the Dome Patrol podcast, that's the one you just listened to, the BS and Beer Saints podcast with Dave Romero and Wes, you're on that one, Pelican Plunge, which happens every now and then, the Premier League podcast, which is actually taking form right now as the Euros podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and the Tiger's Den with Scott. Follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, at Dome Patrol UK, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, and at Tiger_podcast. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. Just search for Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen to us the old fashioned way, go to DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye bye, donkeys.
Bye bye, turnstile donkeys. Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Guess nobody ever really done me.